Hallelujah. Good morning to those online. Good morning to those in the house. Welcome here. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Just open up your mouth and praise Him. Hallelujah. Father God, we thank You. You are in this place. Holy Spirit, we thank You. You are in this place. Yes, we worship You, oh God. We welcome You, Holy Spirit. Oh, we welcome You, God, in this place. We come to You in the name of Jesus. We come to You in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, we worship You, Jesus. Oh, we worship You, God. Oh, we praise Your name. Oh, we worship You, Jesus. Hallelujah. Holy Spirit, be in this place. We worship You, God. Oh, we praise Your name. Oh, we praise Your name. Oh, we praise Your name. Yes, Lord, we praise Your name. Oh, we worship You, oh God. Yes, we worship You, oh God. We praise Your name. Oh, we praise Your name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank You, Holy Spirit. Thank You, Holy Spirit. Just brood upon each part of this service. Take control. Take control of this service in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. We praise You, Father. We praise You, Father. We praise Your name. We praise Your name. Hallelujah.
Thank you. We will not bow Oh, Kadosh, Kadosh Ata, En Kamo Ka Adonai, Kadosh, Kadosh Ata, En Kamo Ka Adonai. Sing with me, oh, we sing Kadosh.
God, faithful and true. There's none like you. And today we come before you, recognizing, oh God, that you are our keeper, our healer, our deliverer, our peace, the very essence of our person. Lord, we give you praise. For without you, we are nothing. Lord, God of the turnaround, God who makes a way where there is no way, God who turns the ordinary to the extraordinary. Our reliance, our faith, our trust is in you. Father, behold your sons and your daughters. We have come to worship in spirit and in truth. We've come believing, trusting, knowing that you and you alone can touch our lives and cause it to be transformed, ready for an eternity that never ends. In your presence, Lord, may we even now begin to experience the joys of eternity, the joy of being in your presence, the times of no lack, no sickness, no disease, no confusion, no fear, no defeat. Lord, may we this day begin as your people to experience heaven on earth. Thank you, Lord, that this service is orchestrated by you. Your kingdom has come. Your will even now is being done in the earth as it is in heaven. Lord, oh God, you will speak to us and transform us. You will cause us, oh God, to be totally surrendered and committed to your will and your word. Falling, oh God, totally in love with you. We give you praise for this, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. You are holy, holy. There is no one else like you. You are holy, holy. There is no one else like you. Sing it. You are.
Singing it. You are holy. And this time, sing. Can you put the volume on so I can hear myself? You know. Keep singing it. Everybody close your eyes, sing it to God as a prayer.
Thank you.
Thank you, worship team. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Father, we bless your holy name. You are a holy God, and you have called your people to holiness. Father, we bless you. We thank you, Almighty God, for your goodness, your mercy that has brought us here today. May all our thanksgiving, our worship, our adoration of you be acceptable in your sight. Father, be exalted forevermore. We give you praise. We give you praise. Can you say praise the Lord? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, all ye people. Praise the Lord, all ye people. Shout unto God with a voice of triumph. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Can you praise him for your own victory this morning? Praise him for your victory. Praise him for your victory. There are a lot of people battling right now that the victory will come to them. Praise him for your victory. Praise him like the result is now in your hand. Praise the Lord, all you people. Praise the Lord, all you people. Shout unto God with a voice of triumph. Praise you, O Lord. We praise you. Children, praise the Lord. 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 There are people who are looking for miracles right now. Can you praise the Lord on their behalf? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Lord, we give you praise. We give you praise. We thank you for victory. We thank you for victory. Somebody say, victory is mine. Somebody say, victory is mine. Somebody say, victory is theirs. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, we bless you. Thank you for all that you have done for us. Thank you for all our children, biological children, spiritual children, partners, extended families, those in church right now, those that are hearing the sound of my voice, all those who are connected to us as a ministry. We bless them in the mighty name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Everyone from age 120 plus to zero form, those in seed form, those walking in the earth, those in the womb, we say the Lord reign over every one of us.
Hallelujah.
From age 120 plus to zero, we bless them. We thank God for their lives. We lift them before you, that you watch over them. Cause them to prosper in the things of God and then in the things that you have called them to prosper in. Everything you have not designed in their lives will not be manifested. Only what you have designed shall come to pass. Every spirit that is contrary to the Spirit of God that is in operation in anywhere around them, it is removed in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
If they operate in rebellion in their home, it will not affect these children.
Yeah.
We destroy that spirit of rebellion, spirit of witchcraft.
Yeah.
You are destroyed from their lives.
Yeah.
In the name of Jesus, patterns and iniquities, wicked spirits that are standing by and waiting to take their place in their lives, we destroy all of them and their pathways in the name of Jesus. They shall walk in holiness, walk under the blood of Jesus, walk under the word of God. They shall rise and take their place in Jesus' mighty name. Say a big amen. That goes for every one of you. Everyone that is 120 plus to zero, this is your portion. Somebody said, I receive it. Say, that's for me. That's for me and my household. And for everything that concerns me. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Well, let's just quickly, children, hang around. Let's sing happy birthday to Apostle. So, Apostle, come. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Well, let's don't go to your class. Let's just quickly sing, and then we can go to our classes. Amen? All right. Let's sing happy birthday, and then we're going to pray for him. He's always praying for you, so this is your turn. Make sure you wish him happy birthday. Honor your fathers and your mothers. The Bible says those who teach you the word, give to them from your substance. So make sure you say a blessing. Amen. All right. Let's sing. I don't know what key is going to come out. Day to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday. God bless you, Apostle. Happy birthday to you. And many more. And many more. All right. Hey. All right. I'm going to pray. Don't sing anything. I'm leading from here. Don't lead from there. So praise the Lord. All right. Let us pray for him. Heavenly Father, you're on my left hand, so I like you on my right, please. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Stretch your hands, and we bless him. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you, God, for the man of God. Thank you for Apostle Michael Ifezino. Thank you for his life, a bishop, an apostle to the nations, a pastor, a father, a grandfather, a great-grandfather, fathers of pastors, pastor of pastors. We bless your holy name. We thank you, God, for his life, my husband. And we bless him in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, God, for adding another year to his life. Many have been subtracted, but he is here. We give God thanks. We bless him in the name of Jesus. We thank God for preserving him and continue to preserve him. He that keepeth Israel will always keep you. He shall preserve you in your going out and coming in. Your foot shall not be moved. In the name of Jesus, you will always go and come back in the name of Jesus. You will continue to preach this gospel. That's the gift God has given to you. You will excel in it and continue to do the will of God. We pray for divine health, divine wealth, every heart desire you have for your personal life, for your corporate life, for your ministry life, for your family, for everything that you have. May God bring them to pass speedily, speedily, speedily. This year you turn 66. There are 66 books of the Bible. Every blessing in every single chapter of the Bible, it is yours in the mighty name of Jesus. May the Holy Spirit visit you. May the word of the Lord be reopened to you. May revelation and speed come into your life. In the mighty name of Jesus, may the gates of hell be shattered to pieces. They will never prevail against you. Greater dimension, greater doors, mighty doors and entrance be given to you. In the name of Jesus. And I heard the word greater glory. So that's why I was hesitating there. Greater glory. Greater glory. What God wants to do in your life, he wants to put you in the glorious spot. May you remain in that perpetual glorious place. May the veil of God cover you. May the prayer of God cover you. May the word of God cover you. May the blood of Jesus cover you. Speak divine health over you. You will not be sick. You will be healthy, strong, vibrant. Your strength goes from strength to strength. You move from glory to glory. More nations, more power, more glory, more anointing, spirit filled. Everyone that comes around you that is not of God, their power is broken. Today there's a circle and a radius around you. The fire of God is around you. Everything that they intend that is not good for your life, they burn and they reverse back to them. In the name of Jesus, the glory of God will go before and behind you. He will drive out all your enemies and he will bring your helpers. Command that destinies help us, we come now. Genuine destiny help us, we come to you. They will help you. Help you to do what you need to do. They will not sabotage your work. They will continue to do what God has said. Every sabotaging spirit, leave your life today. In the name of Jesus, every blockage is unblocked. In the mighty name of Jesus, rivers of living waters will continue to flow. Flush out every debris. Flush out boulders. Flush out every junk. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, God, for your glory. We give you praise. We give you praise. You shall not lack. You shall have more than enough. Every barrier that held your finance down is broken today. You have more than enough because you know what to do with what God has given to you. More than enough for you and your household. Your wife, your children, your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren, their spouses and their children's children, till Jesus come, they are blessed. All your spiritual children are blessed. Your extended families are blessed. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Somebody say big amen.
Amen.
Amen. God bless you. Happy birthday. Okay, they said they have a song. Like they are just waiting, they're playing something. Praise the Lord. All right. Praise the Lord. All right, children, you can go to your class quietly. I continue with our prayer. So the rest of you, you can rise with me. Hope you're not too tired of standing. So we're going to pray for the nation of Israel. Let us. If you really cannot stand, then you can sit. But if you can stand, let's do that together. Hallelujah. Bless God. Father, we thank you, God, for what you have done. We give you all the glory, and all the honor, and all the praise. And I pray for the peace of Jerusalem, peace within her walls and her palaces, peace to all the nations, peace to Israel. Israel, your glory. Israel, the apple of your eyes. Israel, carved in the palm of your hands. Israel, your firstborn. Father, we bless you. And your word says, all Israel shall be saved. These promises are yes and amen. As you have guaranteed this blessing through our fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, that through Abraham, all nations will be blessed. We partake of these blessings in the name of Jesus. We thank you that it's happening for Canada, United States of America, Nigeria, every nation on the earth, Uruguay, in the name of Jesus, Chile, Argentina, they all belong to you. Every nation on the earth, every First Nations, all peoples, islands of the sea, we commit them to you, that they will serve you and love you and worship you, lifting up holy hands and calling the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name, being part of the service today, let your name be magnified. Everyone we're praying for, our leaders, our nations, every one of them, those working in the house of God, that you will strengthen them, that they will do that which you've called them to do without hesitation in doing it to please you. In Jesus' mighty name, bless your word as it comes now with power, with favor, with mercy, with truth, with healing, deliverance, and healing those that are sick. Those that are sick this morning, we declare them, be healed, be restored, be made whole. We pray for our pastor friend that is sick, that you bring healing to that pastor. In the name of Jesus, we speak complete turnaround and a restoration. We say good news, good news, good news, good news, good news, good news. Be healed, be restored, and be made whole. In the name of Jesus, we thank you for 100% turnaround. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. May God bless you, Apostle.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Thank God for his faithfulness and thank God for you. Thank you for your prayers. On May the 1st, Mama and I landed in Canada. We knew no one here, other than we knew God had sent us here. That was the year 1981. We arrived here on the 1st of May. I wish I could tell you that I was very excited about coming to Canada. There's no other place I'd rather be than be here today. Praise the Lord. I can still see myself on my knees in a street in the city of San Bernardino. There on my knees, resting on an ottoman, a leather ottoman, the Lord caught me up by the Spirit, took me to this desert wilderness place. Wind was blowing, tumbleweed. And the voice of the Lord spoke to me, said, can there be life here? And I spoke back in King James language to the Lord. I said, thou knowest. And he said to me, he said, just say, let there be life. So I said, let there be life. And as soon as I spoke those words out of my mouth, that wilderness was a city. I could see the houses, I could see the buses, saw everything. The vision cleared up. About 2 weeks later, I heard the Lord say to me, I want you in Canada. I said, no. So why you say no? I want you in Canada. I said, I'm not going to Canada. Understand, I'm in California. I was at this time schooling in Orange County in Costa Mesa. And God is talking to me about Canada. I said, I don't want to go to Canada. I said, why not? I said, there are igloos there. Igloos. It's too cold. I've been here now 40-something years, and I've not seen an igloo yet. The cold, yes. Little did I know that God was bringing me to the place that He took me by the Spirit to. I applied to different schools and one school responded. You've heard me tell this story. I had 2 weeks to go to Nigeria. And God is saying, go to Canada. I said, you've got 2 weeks. So I made an application to all these schools. One school responded. Thank you, Lord, for that. Thank you, Lord, for that. Hallelujah. I hear the Lord say, that the time is short. Hear this. The time is short. And the Lord is saying, I am not going to give you too many options so that you waste your time trying to figure out what to do. I'm just going to bring the right track your way so that you can make the right decision all the time. The time is too short. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, that's exactly what He did for me. One school responded. I filled out the form that is sent to me, put it in the mail, and then they sent to me the acceptance letter and asked me to pay a certain amount of money. I paid that amount of money, sent it back. Now, remember, we're talking about 1980. This is 1980. They accepted my payment and sent me the necessary forms that I needed to apply for immigration, a form I-20. Now, remember I said 2 weeks. Mail has gone back and forth. And I had days to spare, about 3 or 4 days to spare. So in essence, mail had gone forth, back and forth. Even if you did it with FedEx, I don't know if you'll be able to do it that fast. Somebody listening? But snail mail. No emails. You go to the post office. You buy the stamp. You put it on. Drop it in the box. The mailman comes and picks it up and drives their slow vehicles. Then it goes into their post office sorting place. They have to sort it, then put it in the plane or in some vehicle or whichever way to get to the next stop. Then over at this end, they have to read it, make a decision on whether they're going to do anything with this, send you the necessary forms, and it comes back. And then you fill out the forms over here, and the process goes back and forth. How on earth, other than God, had destiny helpers called angelic forces? When I thought I was dropping it in the mail, it was landing in Winnipeg or in Ottawa. And when they thought they were putting it in the mailbox, it was landing at my hand. And when, is somebody listening? God was moving things. May God speedify in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. I got everything done. And on May the 1st, we arrived. I remember the first shower we had, which would be May the 2nd. It was in some motel close to the airport.
I showered on the first when I arrived.
Oh, she said she showered on the first when she arrived. Okay. Whichever. Whatever. Anyhow, my first shower was, the hot water tank at the hotel was broken. So now this is May. You know the water is still very cold. It was ice water. I put on that thing and I was, ah! Hallelujah. That afternoon, one of the workers at the Bible school came and picked us up, and we drove out of Winnipeg heading to Otterburn. As we're driving, we left the city, and all we could see was bush everywhere. I'm wondering, where are these people taking us to? Who's this guy, and where is he taking us to? And then they take us to this, to the school. No students. The students were gone on holidays. And they stick us in the guest room in the main building, all by ourselves. Mama is pregnant, and she wanted some Pepsi or Coke or something. Fanta? Yes, she wanted Fanta. Yes. That's what it was, Fanta. I said, there's got to be a place here, you know, because I've been in California all this time. There's got to be a vending machine somewhere. And I come out. It's dark. We don't have a flashlight. I look down the hallway, look down this way, nothing. I said, there's got to be something somewhere, somewhere. So I'm filling the walls, and I go down to the basement, walking in the dark, and I see this box. Ah, there it is. I go there. There's no Fanta. There's Coke, Pepsi, and all of that. I got something, and I came upstairs and brought it, going through the dark. So here we were, trying to drink our drinks, and we decided to put on the television. And they were showing a movie called The Blob. I don't know if anybody's seen The Blob. You've seen The Blob? This is not a good movie, I tell you that. There's this blob of stuff coming out of sinks and toilets and everything, and just consuming people. So that was our first. Hi, ay, ay. What a scary movie. anyway, why am I telling you all of this? Sometimes when you even know you're in the will of God, things don't start out smooth. Were we in the will of God? Absolutely. But we started life in Canada in a very rough way. The economy in Nigeria was down the drain. No foreign exchange. So we couldn't get monies from Nigeria. I knew God sent us here. We found a place in Nevaville, just behind Wynn's Furniture, and we stayed there. And now we ran out of money. We're out of money. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? And one afternoon, I'm in school, and one of my profs, his name is Gus Pankovo. I wish I can locate that man again. Gus Pankovo is from Argentina. Peru, thank you. My helper. Peru. Calls me to his office. He says, how are you doing? I said, I'm doing okay. You sure? I said, yeah, I'm fine. And he says to me, he says, I think you have a need. I said, well, why do you say that? Where are you staying? I said, I'm living in Nevaville. Where there? And I told him. He said, I have a sense that you need to come. You and your family need to come and come stay at my house. Is somebody listening?
Yeah.
I didn't tell him. God was speaking to this man who doesn't even speak in tongues, doesn't believe in speaking in tongues. He doesn't believe in speaking in tongues or any of that, but he's hearing from God. He's hearing from God. And so I said, are you sure? He said, yes. He said, get your stuff from where you are. You shouldn't be spending your money for rent. You know, just come stay with me. So we moved to East Kildonan. Remember me telling the story about how I drove on an empty gas tank for a whole week? So you can see some of the story, how it all connects together. But we were in the will of God. Running out of money. But it didn't matter what the situation was. God was still there with us. In the high points and in the low points and everything in between, he was still there working with us, making sure that we were taken care of. Whether he did it supernaturally as he did with the empty gas tank driving back and forth to school for a whole week, or providing us a room in the basement of my prof. God was still working in us and with us. We were in the will of God. But times were tough. I don't know who this is for, because I tell you what, I had a totally different message. But I said to the Lord this morning, I said, Lord, this is what I'm going to be talking about, but if that's not what you want me to talk about, then help me just say what you want said. And this is what he's asking me to say to you today. I don't know where you are. All I'm saying is this. If God said, no matter what the opposition is, you will still make it. Hallelujah. You will still make it. Hallelujah. Let me say it again. You will still what? Make it. What Jesus promised us, even from the garden. And what is the circumstance of his birth? There's a census, and pregnant Mary has to travel in the back of a donkey all the way from Nazareth in the Galilee all the way to Bethlehem. And they get there knowing that they were carrying the child of the Most High God. And you will think there will be a nice 5-star hotel. But there was no such thing. Was he the will of God? No doctors? God couldn't just take St. Boniface Hospital and back 2,000 years and they just come to this miraculous place. And there are angels all over the place taking care of baby Jesus. No, there is no room. There is what? No room for him in the inn. God was totally in it, and it looked like it was a mess. But God was telling a story. And I tell you today, God is writing a story with your life, with my life. And God is doing a new thing. And this day, in the name of Jesus Christ, the will of God will be done in the earth as it is in heaven. Somebody shout hallelujah. Your difficult times are not a sign that you are in the will of God or not in the will of God. Let's have that settled. I'm in the will of God because I know God said. We left East Kildonan. And we wound up at Suite 9, 285 Dufferin. The Manitoba Housing Complex. Rent was not too bad. It was about $300. There again, we ran out of money because we're not going to lie, cheat, do any illegal stuff. Huh? We're not allowed to work. Out of money. We're in 4-bedroom, 3-bedroom. 1 bedroom was in the basement. What are we going to do? The cupboards are empty. My dad comes to visit. His son is in Canada. He should be doing well. He comes and we have 1 cup of rice and a can of cream of corn. Went to the airport, brought him home, and Mama is busy cooking. She's cooking. What is she cooking? She's cooking the rice and the cream of corn. I don't know how much water she put on that rice because we have a firstborn. She's pregnant. My dad, Mama, myself are seated at this table. And Andrew, our firstborn, is on his chair. Actually, somebody sent me a picture just a few days ago. I'll see. No, I don't think I'll be able to accomplish that. But it's this picture of Andrew in the wheel, on not the wheelchair, on his high chair. And it's in a puzzle form because we sent the picture out to Conflicts, Kellogg's Conflicts, and they made a puzzle out of it. So we have that picture. The puzzles of life. Anyway, we're sitting down and eating. And I say to you, I still haven't, till this very moment, eaten food that tasted that good. And I've eaten a lot of good food. In fact, I ate some good food yesterday. My daughter Ashley, she's an amazing cook. I don't like lobster. In fact, I will eat everything else but lobster. But I ate lobster yesterday, and I wondered, why haven't I eaten lobster? Because every lobster, no matter the restaurant, they didn't taste good. So I didn't like lobster. But I ate lobster yesterday, and I said, now I know why I should eat some lobster. But even with that, with a nice lobster and a nice steak and a nice shrimp, it still doesn't match up with the rice and cream of corn. What made the difference? God. God can take the little that you've got and make something extraordinary out of it. After all, he turned water into wine, and he said, this wine is better than whatever it is you served us before. Why didn't you serve us this? But it was from the place of lack that God brought about the miracle. Somebody listening. Back to that house. While my dad was with us, he went with me. I went to the management. And I told him, I said, you know what? I can't work here. And I'm going through some tough experiences right now financially. I don't know how I'm going to pay for the rent. Manager looks at me, says, okay, from now on, you pay $19. Are you with me?
Yes.
$19. You're supposed to pay 25% of whatever income you make. He didn't even care about whatever income I made. $19. You can handle that, right? I said, $19? I think so. Oh, Lord, glory be to God. So we started paying $19. And right there, a pastor, man of God, Pastor Lucas Vambushutin. Calls me because now and then we'll attend his church. Now, while all of this is happening, with no money, we're going across this province almost every weekend to some community in this province preaching the gospel. Did they give us money? There are some people that believe if you're a pastor, you should be broke. Yeah. They'll give you some pierogies and stuff like, and that's your payment. You know, you had lunch. Hit the road, Jack. We'll come home happy that we preach the gospel. That a door was opened for us to preach. We get home. And here Pastor Lucas calls me and says, our council just voted that you be our pastor of evangelism and visitation, and you cannot say no. I didn't apply for the job. They are not a Pentecostal church, not charismatic, not word of faith, not even Baptist. I said, I'm not going to say no, but I cannot work in Canada. If you are able to help me get a working permit, okay. I said, no problem. So they wrote me a letter. But they're amazing, are you listening? They had their superintendent, a Reverend Myers. Remember? He's gone to heaven. These folks have been around us for the longest. Reverend Myers brought a friend of his that was going to attend Winnipeg Bible College and Seminary to do his master's in counseling. Trying to remember the name of that pastor now. No, it wasn't. John is different. Anyway, this guy, he brings this guy. And he says, I want him to be a pastor here. He's going to be attending school. You know, you guys can take advantage of his giftings and whatever else. And No, it's not John Clam. It's a different guy. I know John Clam. So, they said to him, Now, this Reverend Myers is like the bishop, the superintendent over this denomination. They say, no. We have somebody else on our mind. Who is this guy? Some guy from Nigeria. We want him to be our pastor. So I'm not in the meeting. They are arguing with each other. So they concluded, okay, we'll do it half and half. You take this guy. I don't know whether his name was Richard or Robert. And we'll take your Zeno. So they took both of us in and paid half a wage to both of us. I'm there now for about a year, and I go down to the co-op, Seven Oaks Co-op. I'm going to visit with them because they were part of the Albright Church and some other people in that area, and I'm walking in there, and the Lord says to me, says, okay, I want you to start a church in this area. I said, I rebuke you, devil. I'm not the devil. You can't be rebuking me. I want to start a church here. I said, what? I like where I am. Thank you. For the first time, I'm getting a steady wage. You want me to go start a church? Excuse me? No. We're not doing this. Yes, we're doing this. For 3 days, I can't eat. I can't drink anything. I'm thinking, how am I going to tell the pastor that God is asking me to go start a church in that area? This time, Mom and I are attending the University of Winnipeg. And guess what we're doing? At the University of Winnipeg, we have a Bible class that we're teaching. That's where, how many of you know Sister Arlene? Me not. And Colette. That's how we connected. Somebody listening? So I mustered some courage. I called my pastor. I said, Pastor Lucas, I need to talk with you. He said, okay. I'll see you. Where can I meet you? I said, wherever you want. He said, I'll come to your school. So they came, himself and John Thiessen. They're sitting across from me. And with fear and trembling, I start telling Pastor Lucas, I said, you know, when I went visiting in the co-op the other day, God spoke to me. I said, what did God say? God said I should start a church in that area. And remember, they are not Pentecostals. The only hallelujah they've been hearing is from me and Mama and Francis Arches and Esme. Yeah. John and Pastor Lucas go, hallelujah! I say, oh, what is going on here? These people wanted to fire me all this while. What? He said, we just talked about this yesterday. Talked about what? That we should start a church in that area. Guess what we're going to do? They're not even dealing with council. They are making a decision right there. This is very unusual with Albright, with their council. This does not happen. But they are making a decision. Why? God was working what he wants done. And he said, you know what we're going to do? What we're paying you now, we're going to pay it for the next 6 months. I said, you want me to go on and you're going to pay me for 6 months? He said, yeah. So on September the 5th, 85, that's right. 89 is when we started here. Started then Place of Peace. They started paying. And while I was there, and I was still under that denomination, one day, we started Bible studies. I picked up Sister Esme in the Maples. My son Andrew is in the back seat. And we're driving down Pipeline. As we're coming down Pipeline, Andrew is about 4 years, yes. There's an empty field. And this kid looks out and says, Daddy, I said, yes, what? Jesus Castle. I'm looking, myself and Sister Esme were looking, we've seen empty field. We've seen nothing. And by the way, where does the Jesus castle with a four-year-old? What does he know about castles? So Sister Esme and I start looking at each other. Let's keep talking about. I took her back. About 2 weeks later, I'm coming down pipeline. As I'm coming down pipeline, in that same spot where my son said, Jesus Castle, boom! I'm back to the vision in San Bernardino. Are you with me? I'm back in the vision in San Bernardino. I said, wait a minute. This is the place God brought me to 5-6 years ago. Huh. Interesting. I took note of it. I'm coming down that street again about a week or so later, back into that vision. Now I start looking closely. I see the street, the houses, everything. And as I'm driving past, I see this apartment. It says Negev Apartments. Negev is a wilderness. Are you with me? So why am I going through all of these struggles when I'm in the will of God? I don't know who I'm speaking to today. Your struggles, the challenges you've been going through, that's not the measurement of whether you're in the will of God. In fact, sometimes your struggles are a result of you being in the will of God. That's why we must not determine our life based on this good stuff or that bad stuff. Jesus, our Lord, said, if you're going to be my disciple, this is how deep it is. You're going to have to leave father, mother, brother, sister, uncles, cousins, nephews, and even yourself. You're going to prefer me if you're going to be my disciple. We had to leave father and mother when we came to this land May the 1st. 6 days or 5 days later, I was celebrating my birthday. And sometimes the Lord hijacks my birthday. I remember one time. Says, I want you in the Philippines. I said, when? May the 6th. I said, what? You must be kidding me, Lord. He said, no, I want you in the Philippines. You want me in the Philippines? It's my birthday. He said, why were you born? I said, okay, I'm not going to win this argument. Let's just. So I thought it was going to be just that one time. The next year again. The next year. Every time I'm gone. You were born to preach the gospel. I know why I was born. I was born to preach the gospel, to teach the word of God. That's my assignment. In fact, God will not, I'm banned. You don't say banned? B-A-N-N-E-D. I'm banned from doing any outside work. You're not doing that. I remember I told you about God saying, I want you to start a church here? Guess what I was trying to do? I had finished from Winnipeg Bible Seminary. I'm now the University of Winnipeg, and I was now ready to take off as soon as I finished my degree in economics. I was taking off to Ontario. I was going to go do my MBA, and God says, "Ah, no, you're not." Because he knew if I step in there and I start doing the MBA, that which was natural for me to do, which was business, that's what I'm going to start doing. And then I'm going to leave whatever it is that he's calling me to do. So you're not going there. That's how he went and got Albright to call me, to tell me that I'm going to be their pastor, cause them to fight with their superintendent to make sure that I be their pastor, just to make sure. Oh, so now I hear. Thank you, Lord. I see it now, what the Lord was saying. I am not going to give you many options so that you don't waste the time. I see it. That's exactly what God wants to do for every one of us here today. When you are in the will of God, you may face challenges, but the God that has called you, the God who's leading you, will enable you to accomplish whatever it is you need to accomplish. But you must trust totally in him. Are you capturing this? You understand? Who is this word for? All of us? Okay. Now, I'm going to do something here. I want you to come with me to Luke 14. I was sharing some of this with our leadership. Last Friday, I believe it was. In Luke 14 is loaded with information. But it's hard-hitting. Luke 14 is not a passage for the faint of heart, for people who are playing games with their walk with God. Luke 14 is not for you. You don't want to read it. if you just want to mess around and just have, you know, some ritual kind of living, this is not a book for you. This is not a chapter for you. But if you mean business and you want to be everything God wants you to be, you better read this one and apply it to your life. Somebody listening? I will not be able to cover all of it, but let me take it up. From verse 15. Lord has been sharing different things in this chapter, healing people or a particular individual that had the dropsy. Comes to verse 15 and says, "And one of them that sat at meat with him heard these things. He said unto him, Blessed is he that shall eat bread in the kingdom of God." And this statement is in reference to the fact that this wealthy man had invited some guests to come eat. Send out invitation, notify them, and then when everything was ready, he sent his servant to go to them and tell them, "Listen, food is ready. King wants you in." And meet one guy. The guy says, "I can't come." "Why?" "I just bought a new property I have some real estate that I have to take care of. Okay? Goes to another one. That one says, I just bought some oxen, five yoked oxen, and I have to go prove them. I've checked them out, you know, make sure that they're going to work well. He goes to another one and says, I just got married. I'm on my honeymoon. I'm not coming. So he goes and tells the king, nobody's coming. He says, okay, go out there, get the poor, get the lame, the crippled, anyone with issues, invite them. Let them come. So he went out, got all those people. He comes back to the king, says, I got everybody. He said, but the banquet hall is not filled yet. He says, okay, go back. Compel people, go to the highways and the hedges and compel them to come that my house be filled. So they go and they get all those people and they're having this supper, and that's where this gentleman says, ah, wow, what a wondrous experience it will be to be part of that great party. And the Lord says, those guys, they're not going to participate. I invited them, but they are not going to be part of the dinner. Verse 24, for I say unto you that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. And there went great multitudes with him. So there's this mass of people following the Lord. And he turns out to them and he says, if any man come to me and hate not his father, in other words, you don't prefer me over your father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life. You don't prefer me over yourself. You cannot be my disciple. I'm not interested in the crowd. I want people that are totally sold out, who are totally committed, and are willing to do whatever they need to do to learn of me. Because the disciple is one who is a learner, a student. The Bible says Jesus, our Lord, learned obedience. By things that he suffered, he learned obedience. Jesus is our example of a true disciple. A disciple, mathetes, is a Greek word, mathetes. It's one who is willing to learn, one who is willing to grow, one who is totally committed. And God is calling every one of us to that. He's saying, I want you sold out to me, to be more interested in me than you are of yourself. Because in you being interested in me, you will truly find yourself. He says, secondly, and whosoever doth not bear his cross, whatever that cross is, and come after me, cannot be my disciple. You cannot be my disciple if you don't take up that cross and follow me. And the question every one of us must ask ourselves is this: how sold out am I to God? Am I always coming up with an excuse? This and that, and I worked late. That's why I have this new job. That's why I have this new car. I have to go clean it. Like one of the neighbors I had in the co-op, every day, this guy is out there shining his car. The car is shining already. Leave it alone. It will come the next day. Shining the car. You ask him to go to church. I am shining my car. And there are people who are sold out to things that are so unimportant. I must ask myself. And you must ask yourself. Whatever it is that's keeping me from being totally surrendered to God right now, how important is it? How important is it? You know, some of us fight, quarrel about all kinds of stuff. You must ask yourself, when push comes to shove, this fight that I'm fighting right now, what does it matter? Why am I holding a grudge, fighting with people for things that ultimately really, really do not matter? And taking up your cross and following him is about doing everything that he will do. In fact, let me go. I'll come back to Luke 14. In a moment, but let me go to Ephesians 4 and verse 32. In fact, I encourage you to read the whole chapter of Ephesians 4. But Ephesians 4 and verse 32, I'm going to be done shortly. He says, "Be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." How did he prove forgiveness? By taking up that cross and dying on it. And if we are going to be people after his heart, we must be people who are kind one to the other, tender-hearted, forgiving one another. Is it easy? No. But if you're going to be his disciple, you got to carry that cross. Hallelujah. You got to carry that cross. And be willing to serve. Be willing to commit yourself to his divine purpose. Now, how is that possible? Back to Luke 14. He makes a statement in verse 28. And I want to explain this in the context of what he's talking about. Because you can lose the point. He's still talking about total surrender. And then he says, "For which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counted the cost, whether he hath sufficient to finish it? Lest haply after he had laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him." Saying this man began to build and was not able to finish. Or what king going to make war against another king, seated not down first and consulted whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000. And the question I want to ask is, what does this have to do with what you just talked about? Everything. What do you mean everything? And the everything is this. He tells us in Psalm 127, except the Lord builds the city, the builders build in vain. Except he watches over the city, the watchman watcheth or waketh but in vain. Except the Lord, except the Lord, except the Lord, except the Lord. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he giveth his beloved sleep. So Lord, but you're just saying, which man doesn't sit down first and check out whether he has enough funds to build? And which man will not, king will not check out whether he has enough military force to get against that force that's coming against him? What are you saying? What are you saying? And he's saying, listen, I said, which man? What I'm asking you to do here, to love God more than everybody else and everything else, that is not something that you can do. You're going to have to trust me to do it for you, to help you be that. Because if you try to do it yourself, you are going to run short of funds. You're going to run short of love. You're going to run short of whatever, because you're trying to do it in your own strength and in your own ability. And in your own ability, you can do nothing. If I say you're going to have to love me more than every other thing, seek ye first the kingdom of God and all of his righteousness, then every other thing is going to be added to you. For you to be able to do that, you're not going to be able to do that by willpower. You're going to have to surrender to me and say, God, I need help. Is somebody listening? If it weren't for God who helped us all through these years, I tell you what, we'll be flat on our face a long time ago, thrown on the towel and just walked away. Because in our own ability, we cannot. We can't. Without the help of God, none of us can live the Christian life. We've got to put on Christ. Ephesians chapter 4. Hallelujah. We have to put on Christ. It says to us, you have not so learned. So don't do it the way the world does it. And what God is saying to you and I today is simple. Are you going to trust me with everything you've got and prefer me over everything? Or are you going to indulge in yourself? Do you know how much of a challenge it is when you see somebody else can do this? This pastor, he has 4 or 5 businesses and 20 businesses, and he's got money coming out of his ears. He can do whatever it is, and you are doing what God wants you to do, and it seems like you don't have money coming out of your ears. But this is what? This is the deal. Whatever it is that you need, when you need it, it is there. And ultimately, when you stand before God, you will hear him say, come in, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Am I going to show God my Rolls Royce and say, look at my car? You know, just, Lord, just sit there. Let me shine it for you and say, Lord, just sit here. Let me show you all the gadgets I have in my car. Is that what God is looking for? No. He says, if you gain the whole world and lose your soul, what gain have you got? Got nothing. You know, somebody may stand or sit and say, oh, I pity you. I wish you this and you that. I say, don't pity me. I pity you. Now, I'm not saying that, you know, if you're a pastor, you cannot have businesses. I'm not saying that, please. That's not what I'm saying at all. You can do whatever it is that God allows you to do. Maybe because God knows that if I start doing that, I'll be lost. That's why he said, don't do it. So I celebrate the person that can do it and still stay in faith. Hello? You get the point? Yeah, because I don't know what I will do. Maybe I'll start doing something and look at this, look at that, look at, because I did it already with a car that could say Adoy Sajar, and I sat down there in the car waiting for somebody else to come to hear me. When I opened the door, the car says Adoy Sajar. I've been there, I've done that. So God knows me. Hallelujah. And says, son, I want you in heaven. Hallelujah. So I'm not going to let you go do that because I know what you're going to do after that. I don't know. But you need to find out what the call of obedience is. That you're willing to drop everything and follow him. This is the word of the Lord to us today. It's a challenge to every one of us. Yes, so you sit down and you plan everything. And you think it's all fine. And God says, okay. If you want to try, go ahead. But make sure you have enough to do it. And the fact is, without him, we can do nothing. He is my rock, my fortress. Do you know why God created you? The reason for you. Don't mess with it. If God invites you, don't say no to him. Because he said, these people that said no, they will, if they change their mind, even if they change their mind, they're not going to come sit down here and eat any of my food. So I want to say yes to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Verse 33 of Luke 14. So likewise, whosoever he be of you, that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. Salt is good. But if the salt have lost its savor, wherewith shall it be seasoned? What God is saying to us is, listen, you're part of my family, don't backslide because of stuff. Don't wax cold in your faith because we're living in that time right now where the love of many is waxing cold. It's waxing cold because of natural issues. What am I going to eat? What am I going to drink? What am I going to wear? where am I going to get my shelter from? Hear me. We just went through one run. We went through a test run with COVID. We went through a test run with COVID. Another is coming. And you are going to be forced to make a choice. Whether you're going to believe God. Some of you have been around here long enough, and you've heard me preach and teach from the Word of God that, come in quietly, please. We'll be done shortly. That the days are coming that you're going to have to trust God, because God, are you listening? You will keep on going to work, but it will not be in this dimension. You will have lights. You will have your water, but it will be the provision of God. Because you are going to be challenged to choose between your natural survival and your eternal experience with God, whether you choose Jesus or deny Him. It's coming. The Bible that you're holding right now, this is going to be declared within the next 3 years, hate literature. Burn the Bibles. And it will be illegal for you to hold that Bible. You think I'm joking? I've told you things way ahead of time. That is coming. It is coming. It is coming. It is coming. Especially by the year 2028. Things are going to start going real sour. So you need to get yourself ready in your heart now, so that you are solid as a rock, steadfast in faith, unwavering, recognizing that that same God who made it possible for me to drive my car from one point to the other on empty, that same God is still God today. That same God who kept our freezer full when our pockets were empty, but our freezer was full and we're able to cook and eat and serve others because He kept on filling it while we're emptying it out, that same God is still God. You will not come to that place in your walk of faith if God does not train you. So allow yourself to be trained. Being in the will of God doesn't mean everything is hunky-dory. What it means is that God will be with you in the valley of the shadow of death, and at the end He will prepare a table before you in the presence of your enemies and anoint your head with oil and your cup runneth over. You are not a Christian just to sit down and shout hallelujah. You're a Christian who is here to enforce the will of God and snatch as many people as you can out of a life of worldliness. And we start by giving our all to God. If God cannot touch your heart to serve Him, He doesn't have your heart. If God cannot have access to your finances, He doesn't have your heart. Period. Because we are here for souls, 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 souls. And says, get whoever it is you can get from the byways, highways, get the lame, the crippled, the blind, the deaf, bring them in. I want my house filled. Our assignment is to fill the house of God. What did I say? Is that what it says in Luke 14? When it came and said, I brought everybody, but it's not filled yet. He said, go out, get them, compel them. The word compel is like force them. With everything you've got, force them to come in here. I want them here. Why isn't he forcing those guys who said, I just got married? Why is he not forcing the other ones? Get everybody, fill my house. Are we ready to be the disciples of Jesus? And do we know that it is by his strength that we can? Then praise the Lord for that. Bow your heads with me. Heavenly Father, we've heard your word. We receive your word. We say yes to your word. We say, word of God, abide in us, with us. Help us, Lord, to be fully surrendered, that we might serve you, worshiping you in spirit and in truth. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Maybe there's someone here today who says, you know, Pastor, I want to be a disciple of the Lord. And I need God's help. Because the pull of the world is so hard on me. I need God to help me make it. I need God to help me to be totally sold out. I want to be sold out to God and to doing his will. If that's you this morning, just raise your hand and I'll join in prayer with you. Pastor, I want to be fully. I see those hands. See that hand. Hallelujah. I want to be totally sold out. I don't want anything to distract me from following you. I want to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. I'm not talking about salvation now. I'm talking about being a disciple. You can be saved and not be a disciple. But without being a disciple, you don't have an assurance of being welcomed in. So I ask that question again and I'll pray. Who is it? Say, I give my life completely, totally to God. I need your help, God. See that hand, I see that hand, I see that hand, I see that hand. I see that hand, I see that hand, I see that hand. I see that hand. I see that hand. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Everybody rise with me and see that hand. Say with me, Lord, I want to be in your perfect will. And I cry out to you today. Help me. Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord, to be a true disciple. Help me, Lord, to give my best to you. Help me, Lord, to prefer you over myself and everything else. Help me, Lord, to be totally surrendered. Help me, Lord, to carry this cross and follow you all the way. Thank you, Lord, for the grace to be totally surrendered to you, my God. In Jesus' name, total obedience, Father. I ask for your help. I want to learn obedience. Help me, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. Well, it's a great honor and privilege to share the word of God with you this morning. At this time, we're going to honor God with our giving. And I would like to say to you that tonight we are going to have a healing service. If you're sick, you know somebody that's sick, just bring them. Let them just be in this atmosphere. I believe that God will touch them and restore health to them. Amen? Praise the Lord. So look forward to seeing you this evening. Come, if you're not sick, come. Come join your faith for the healing for somebody else. Hallelujah. Amen. Just keep on coming. Honor God with your giving. Some of you made a commitment to give towards missions. When you have that particular offering available and ready, bring it so that I can touch it, put it in my hand, so I can stand in agreement with you for the breakthrough that you need. Amen? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Okay. Mama, come. Is that your missions offering? Okay, bring it. Mark it under missions if you're giving towards missions so that it can be addressed as such. All right. Well, rise with Mama and I. As you take off this body as the Lord has commissioned us to, may God's healing power, His favor, His blessings be richly bestowed upon you, so that you can be everything God says you can be for His glory and for His honor. Today we've committed ourselves to say, God, I'm going to put you as number one in my life. As you make decisions every day, make decisions based on that. And may God continue to groom you and grow you to be everything that you are called to be. Take of this body, I need.
Scope of blessing. So say with me, say,
Lord,
Lord,
make me a disciple.
Make me a disciple.
Lord,
Lord,
make me a fisher of men.
Make me a fisher of men.
Lord,
Lord,
make me to follow you.
Make me to follow you.
Lord,
Lord,
help me to surrender to you.
Help me to surrender to you.
To your will.
To your will.
To your way.
To your way.
To your actions.
To your actions.
To your attitudes.
To your attitudes.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
Take and drink.
Praise the Lord. Thank God for His grace. Thank God for every one of you today. Amen. Those that are on Zoom, just hold for a moment. Let me say hello to some guests in here, and I'll be back with you in just a moment. Who's here for the first time? Any first timers here?